All right, we're going to start here 5 lines up from the bottom of Mem Gimon Bet of Amar Mar. Here we're continuing to discuss the case that we had discussed yesterday with Rava's Psak Halacha, where he went to Chumrah like Shmuel and Rav, and how the Gemara wants to discuss why did he do that. First of all, they went ahead and told him that was the wrong Halacha, but then on top of that, now we're going to have even more extreme questions on that position than how did Rava do such a thing. Amar Mar. I have a really strong question against the enemies of Rava. Obviously, this is a Lashon Sagi Nor. He has a very strong question against Rava. What was Rava thinking over here? Because the Olam, we have a Memra, this is from the Gemara in Ervin, that Hilchata Kedibre Beit Hillel. The Lacha always follows Beit Hillel. But Rotzela Sotki Rebit Shemai, anybody wants to do like Beit Shemai, Oseh. You can take your choice. You want to pass them like Beit Hillel? Fine. You want to pass them like Beit Shammai? Fine. Someone who takes all the kulot from Beit Hillel and all the kulot from Beit Shammai, Rasha. That person is just a plain evil person. They're just trying to get away with everything. That doesn't work. Now, what would you think the other side? If he takes all the chumrah to Beit Hillel and chumrah to Beit Shammai, maybe that's laudatory. The fool walks in darkness. That's a really foolish thing to do, to take the chumrot of both opinions. Now, the Gemara in Erevin qualifies that statement. It's only when it's a betray chumre de satron adadi. It's only when the chumrot are soter when it's one the other. We just had a case of that in yesterday's, we discussed here in yesterday's daf, but exactly a case like that. That was the case of the trefot by the vertebrae. When you take out the two vertebrae, what is considered a chisaron so that's not metame mate? Beit Shammai say two vertebrae, Beit Hillel said one. Then, when it comes to trefa, chen le trefa. Chen le trefa means that for Beit Shammai, it won't be a trefa until you take out two vertebrae. And for Beit Hillel, it won't be a trefa unless you take out one. If you take the chumro to both of them, it's tarte de satre. You can't have it both ways. You can't have one be a chisaron and not be a trefa, or the other way around. You can't have two be a chisaron and then one be a trefa. It just doesn't make sense. That's a tarte de satre. And guess what? Our case here too. By Rava is exactly that. It's a tarte de satre case. It's a case where if you think it's makom shchita, then it's b'mashu. If it's a not makom shchita, then it's berubo. How can you paskin that it's not makom shchita and it's b'mashu? That doesn't make sense. If you paskin like Beit Shammai, you take everything. Lock, stock, and barrel. If you paskin like Beit Hillel, you got to take everything that Beit Hillel says. So when it says, ha-gufa kasho, the whole statement here is problematic because it says, olam halacha k'divrei Beit Hillel. The halacha is always like divrei Beit Hillel. And then afterwards it says, tani rotzeh lasuk k'divrei Beit Shammai, yaseh. If you want to do it like Beit Shammai. Well, if the halacha is like Beit Hillel, why are you doing like Beit Shammai? Lokash, kan kodem bat kol, kan achar bat kol. That depends. The Gemara in Erevin talks about there that there's machlokes Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, and then along comes a bat kol and says the halacha is always like Beit Hillel. From that point forward, the halacha was like Beit Hillel. So before that, you could pick between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. After the bat kol came out, then the halacha is like Beit Hillel, you no longer have the right to do like Beit Shammai. Vi'i ba'itema, others say, achar bat kol, even after the heavenly voice came out and said the halacha is like Beit Hillel, Rabbi Shua says, "Damar ein mashgichim bevat kol." We don't listen to a bat kol, and even after the bat kol, you're allowed to choose between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. The loch is like Beit Hillel, but if you want, you can do like Beit Shammai. That's an option that is available to you. Over here, Tosfot also in other places in Erevin, Tosfot discusses what exactly is going on here. If you look top Tosfot on the left side, he says, "Tema the kaimelam ke Beit Hillel mishum bat kol." We paskin like Beit Hillel because of the bat kol. V'kaimelon the Rabbi Lezer shmutihu, and we also believe the Rabbi Lezer is put into excommunication. And there we say, "V'lo cheshin the bat kol shepasak kavate." And over there, we don't listen to the bat kol. So how come over here we listen to this heavenly voice that says halacha is like Beit Hillel, but by tanur shalachnai, where Rabbi Lezer argues in the chachamim, and the bat kol says Rabbi Lezer is right. We don't listen to the bat kol over there. That only came to show that give kavod to Rabbi Lezer. It's not that that was the real halacha, but that they wanted to give kavod to Rabbi Lezer, so therefore we don't listen to it. He says, "Va'od the bat kol Beit Hillel Messiah Kra." Right, Beit Hillel's bat kol heavenly voice is supported by the pasuk because Beit Hillel were in the majority. Since Beit Hillel were in the majority, it's we paskin like the rove. If we paskin like the rove, then the bat kol is just supporting that position because we would have had a havamina. What was the suffek mikara? The Beit Shammai mechadadei tfei. That they were smarter, they were sharper, so maybe we should pass them like them. The bat kol comes out and says, no, we keep the normal piskei halacha, the normal kalim of halacha, and that is that we go after the rov, and the halacha is like Beit Hillel. Problem now is, the Gemara just said over here, that maybe it's according to the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua who says we don't listen to the bat kol. Well, you know where Rabbi Yeshua says that? Rabbi Yeshua says that by the case of Rabbi Eliezer, the shmutihu. So if he's quoting from over there, and now the Gemara brings it over here to the case of Beit Hillel, that means that the Gemara sees the bat kol by Rabbi Eliezer as the same bat kol by Beit Hillel that has the same standard. So how could it be that Rabbi Yeshua that we're quoting over here says that Rabbi Lezer's Bakul doesn't work, but yet the one of Beit Hillel we're going to say is good. How can you compare the two? Yesh Lomar, that if you remember from the Gemara in Tamashaf 9, Baba Mitzia and Tarkazav, what is Rabbi Yeshua's reason that we don't listen to the Bakul? Is because he says, Lo b'shamayim hi. We don't listen. The heavens don't make decisions in Halacha. Halacha is done ba'aretz, not b'shamayim hi. So the fact that he says it over there, it sounds like a general statement. It doesn't sound like it's just unique to over here. It sounds like he makes a general statement. Anything that comes from heavens, we don't listen to. And therefore also over here, by Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, we're going to say the same thing. Not the cases are comparable. Not that the Bat Kols are comparable, but rather, Rabbi Yoshua's statement is just such a generic, overarching statement that Lo b'shamayim hi, that we never listen to the Bat Kol when it comes to, according to Rabbi Yoshua. So that would be the Halacha here. Tosfos first distinguishes between the Bat Kol, the heavenly voice, by Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, saying that was the Rov, and the Bat Kol was only supporting what was otherwise the Halacha. Whereas Rabbi Lezer, who's a Shmuti, was only coming from his Kavod, and therefore we disregard the Bat Kol over there. Rabbi Yeshua says we disregard Bat Kols all the time, and therefore we end up with this Halacha, which is the Halacha is like Beit Hillel, but there still is an option to go or to hold like Divrei Beit Shammai. Mikol Makom Kasha. In the end, it's a big problem for Rava. How did Rava Paskin over here, like the Chumrei Shmuel and the Chumrei of Rav, which are Tate Desatre, it's against this whole principle. So Amarav to vote, Kula Kirav Avdo. He Paskin entirely like Rav. At Tosafot points out over here, he could have said he was like totally like Shmuel as well. The only difference is that we know when it comes to Rav Ushmuel, by Divrei Mamon, Halacha ke Shmuel. By Divrei Yisur, the Halacha is ke Rav. So over here, they wanted to make it Kulu Karav because the Isurim go like Rav. So I'm going to do it. Kulu Karav, Abdo. Techi Ato, Rami Bar Yecheskel. Rami Yecheskel came. Amar Lota Tzitulu Lahane Klali, the Kyle Yehuda Achi, Mishmei the Rav. Don't listen to all this stuff my brother Yehuda told me. And that's throughout Shas. What do we say? Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav was the next generation. Rabbi Yehuda was one who brought all the memory to Rav. So his brother, Rami Bar Yecheskel, comes along and says, don't listen to what my brother Yehuda said. Because I'll tell you what Rav really said. And that is Hachi Amarav, Veshet Natnu Bo Chachamim Shiur. The Veshet has a Shiur. Means that if you think the Veshet has a Shiur, means that the Veshet ends somewhere. That means both at the top and the bottom. Well, if it ends at the top, that means that there's somewhere at the top where it's not considered a Veshet anymore. And now you have to explain it. If Ram thinks the Torvitz of Veshet is a place that you could still cut and do Shechita, there's nowhere on the Veshet. There's no stop to the Veshet. So that just can't be true. So Michlal, what do we conceive from this? We can infer from this is that Turetz of Veshet La Makum Shechitahu. It's clear that the Torvetz of Eshet, that pharynx at the top, that area is not good for Shechita. V'kamar b'mashu, and Rav still holds that it's posel b'mashu. He says, look, it's still part of the tract of the esophagus, and therefore it's a treifa b'mashu. It's just not a makom Shechita. So it has a classification of esophagus, but it's not a din in Shechita that it's kosher for Shechita in that location. So Nagmar wants to know, l'mala ad kamo, up to the top, how far can you go? So Amar Rav Nachman ad k'tvei tfisa diad. That means until the point of Tfisa Diyad. Rashi here brings down from his Rebbeim that it means three or four etzba'ot, three or four fingers width-wise from the top. That's how much is classified as the Torvetz of Veshet. He brings in another opinion that he heard, but he doesn't like so much, which is Achizat Chodei Atzir Parnayim, is the edges of the nails. That's putting the thumb and the forefinger together and touching the nails together. Tosafot brings a similar Deya from the Bahag. And over there, it's unclear as to what it means. Does it mean a thumb's width worth because the forefinger is touching on the thumb? Does it mean 2 fingers worth, which is the Bahag says the thumb touches 2 fingers, 2 fingers worth? Or does it mean, like Rashi says, seems to say here, that's the nail to the nail. It's a very, very thin area. So all of those are possibilities. So you have a machloket of ranges of how wide this Torvetz of Veshet is, anywhere from 4 etzbot at the widest to the nail's breadth, of, you know, between the nail of the thumb and the forefinger. That could be the top of the Torvetz of Veshet over here. Then at the bottom, so ad gama, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Ravua, ad kadei shiasir. It's the place where it's the hair. The hair here are the villi that are down inside of the rumen, inside of the stomach, that help to absorb the food. Once the hair starts, that's no longer the esophagus. I said, Zini, is that really true? Vama Ravina, Amar Gniva, Mishmei Drav, Tefach Baveshet, Samuch Lekeres. The last tefach of the esophagus, as it reaches the rumen, Zeu Keres HaPnimi. That's already classified as the keres ha-pnimi. Now here it's classified, keres ha-pnimi is not because it's internal, but keres ha-pnimi is because that part, the front part of the rumen, is covered by the ribs and the other areas, other organs that are around it. The latter part of the rumen is in more open area, and therefore it's called the keres ha-chitzon. In our Mishnah, remember that we said that keres ha-pnimi, if you have a nekev mashahu, it's a treifa, whereas the keres ha-chitzon, it has to have rubo that's removed in order for it to be problematic. So am I. Kikashachet bekeres kashachit. According to you, if you say that you can go all the way up to the part where the villi start in the rumen, that's a good shchita, that's the esophagus. Over here, if you say there's a tefach that's not, then you're cutting in an area that's not considered the esophagus. So the Gemara says, Ema tefach bakeres samuch leveshet, zehu keres apnimi. Now it's really defining for us what is the keres apnimi. The first tefach, as you enter the rumen from the esophagus, that is classified as the keres apnimi. Again, the nafkamina for the trefot that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Ibaitema, an alternative is, ki ka'amarav bitorah demasir tve. Well, it depends what. It depends what animal you're talking about. When you're talking about a Torah, an ox that has lots of villi, those villi come up higher up into the esophagus, and therefore you need to go a tefach into the esophagus, even to say that it's still considered a keres apnimi. But in other animals where the esophagus reaches down and the keres, the rumen, only has the hair inside of the rumen, then the entire esophagus would be kasher. This is unique to the shore. It's not something that we would say generally about all animals. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman is going to say the name of Shmuel's statement here. Toretz HaVeshet, the pharynx area, Shnital Kulo Milechi Kasher. If it was ripped out entirely, it's fine. The animal's kasher, it's not a trefa. V'tani Tuna, and we have a Mishnah that supports this. That's what Tani Tuna means. Our Mishnah or our Tana supports this. Yital Lechi Tachton, if you take out the lower jaw, then kasher. So that's where the simanim are attached to the lower jaw. If you pull out the lower jaw entirely, you've also removed the torbitz of veshet, and that's kasher. So here we have a mishnah that supports it. So now matki flero papa vaika ikur simanim. What are you going to do about the fact that we have ikur simanim here? When you remove the lechi, or when you pull out the torbitz of veshet, you've now ripped the simanim out of their place. This is ikur simanim. So why isn't this problematic in terms of ikur simanim? Now Rashi believed earlier in the Masechta, the Ikur Simanim makes it a trefa, and the Gemara does not read well here if you say that. On the other hand, the Bahag and others say Ikur Simanim is problematic if you do Shchita on an animal that has Ikur Simanim, but does not automatically make it a trefa, and that makes it a little easier to read the Gemara at this point. So the Gemara says, Vayika Yis Ikur Simanim, says, well, the Rapapa, Kasha Matnitin. Forget about Shmuel. Rapapa is asking on Shmuel. Rapapa has a problem with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can rip out the lower jaw and not have a problem. Why don't you say there's a problem with Ikur Simanim? The Gemara says, "Nital lechet achton kasher." Bishlam amat nital rapapa lo kasha. The Mishnah is not a problem for rapapa. There's a had the ikor iakure, had the igum igume. The difference between if it was ripped out entirely versus igum igume, which is either carved away or shaved down. The difference being that there's flesh and muscle over there. You can pull out the lower jaw and leave the muscle and flesh behind, and that will hold the simanim in place. In that case, it'll be kasher. On the other hand, if you iokar akre, if you take it out entirely with the flesh that's behind the lechi atachton, that will cause the simanim to be ne'akar, and that will be problematic. So the difference between Rapapa and the Mishnah is how the lechi atachton was taken out. If it's taken out in such a manner, again, it was carved away and left the basar, the flesh, and the muscle behind it, that's fine because then the simanim remain in place. On the other hand, if you rip it out and it comes out with all the flesh and everything that's behind it, it will cause an ikor simanim. So the Gemara says, the hadikum igumay mi leve simanim. Above the simanim, you take it out, you carve it away. So the Gemara says, elo lishmuel kasho. So now, here, according to here, is Shmuel's a kasha. So the Gemara says, no problem. Lo tema kulo. According to Rant Shmuel, who says that it's kulo, shenitel kulo milechi kasher. So we'll take care of that problem. We'll say, don't write kulo anymore, but rather, you should write, lo tema kulo elema rubo. But only if the robe is taken out, then it's torbetz aveshet shenitel rubo, Milachi kasher. So then it'll be kasher, and then you won't have a problem of ikur simanim. All right, so that's the way to read it. I'm going to read it here according to Rashi. There's actually four or five other ways to read this Gemara. I'll try to give you the quick highlights of how to read the other ones afterwards. And that is right now, where does the Gemara flow? We're going to go with Girsa Rashi, which it continues like this. V'hama rabba barchana marshmol, simanim shinidal dolu beruban trefa. If you have simanim that sever on the rove from the areas, that it's a trefa. So here, why does rove help you? Even without kulo, rove is still a problem of ikur simanim. So Rav Shisha b'rei d'Ravidi, had ikfal ikfule, hatam d'ifruk afruke. The difference here is between whether it was peeled back or whether it was ripped out or pulled out. If it's pulled out and pulled hard, so even though there's a miut that's left behind, the miut is not in one place. It's little strands here and there that accumulate to be the miut. That's not considered to be attached anymore, and that's ikur simanim, and that's a trefa. And that's what Rabbi Barchana was talking about. Shenil delu beruban trefa. On the other hand, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, okay, and it's kasher. He's talking about where you took it out gently, you peeled it back gently. So you peeled it back gently, even though the robe severed, The miut is all in one place and still strongly attached, and that's not classified as ikur simanim. So that's the way Rashi reads this Gemara. Tosafot here brings an alternative girsa down, which inserts an extra statement along the way. If you remember by Torah HaVeshit, Shmuel said that it's pasul berubo. So that's what the rubo is over here. There's an additional question that fits in here. Ela'ema rubo. After Ela'ema rubo, the Gemara asks an additional question and says, well, didn't Shmuel say that rove, when you have a cut in the rove of Torah HaVeshit, that's problematic and that's a trefa? So the answer to that question is, and this is, they have additional girsa, which we don't have here, is hada nukuve nukuve, hada adlule. It depends how that cut happened. If it's cut straight through, like a knife would cut, like a shkita would cut, then over there, the rove is problematic. On the other hand, if it's in nukuve nukuve, which is that it pulled away a little bit and pulled and severed here and there, then over there, rove is going to be kashir. So they enter in this additional piece into the Gemara to explain it, which is to reconcile Shmuel with the previous statement of Shmuel. And therefore, they have an additional part of the girsa over here, and that helps reconcile with other things that Tosafot discusses in the Shita of Ahag and Ikor Simanim, something I want to get into, but I just want to point out that alternative girsa. There is a third girsa to the Gemara, which is by the Rambam and the Rif, which they have an interesting girsa, and that has to do with from which side you're coming from. And that is the Gemara asked over here, we have the two statements up front, and then we have the statement of Papa that you have Ikor Simanim over here. Because the suggestion is that you're pulling from the Torbits. If you're pulling from the Torbits, you're going to pull the Simanim out for sure, because that's how you're severing it. The Gemara says, well, according to Rav Papa, it's a question from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you have Lechi HaTachton is kasher. The Gemara's answer is, well, it depends where you're pulling from. Ha, the Ikur Ikure, ha, the Igum Igume Milavei Simanim. Depends which side you're pulling from. According to Rav Papa, who says there's a problem of Ikur Simanim, that's because you're pulling from the side of the Torbits of Veshet. You're pulling from the side of Simanim. That's called Ikur Simanim. On the other hand, the Mishnah is discussing the Lechi HaTachton, which is coming from the other side. You're pulling from the jaw. By pulling on the jaw side, you're severing the items, but you're not causing this problem of Ikur Simanim because you're starting from the Lechi side. So that'll be the difference. The distinction is which side are you removing it from. If you're moving it from the Simanim side, then you'll have Ikur. If you're moving it from the jaw side, you will not have Ikur Simanim. And then the Gemara says, Elo Shmuel Kasha. Shmuel have a problem because he says if you take the whole thing off, it's fine. And that's clearly not the case. The Gemara amends that to read, not kulo, elo rubo. And then we have Amar Rabbi Chana, that you have a simanim, shnod the luberum trefa. And the Gemara's answer over here is that the ikfale kfule versus afruk, afruke. So ikfale goes, Rabbi Chana, is that the simanim are pulled away from each other. That's what it means, the akfule kfule, is they peeled away. Not that they peeled away from the lechi, but rather they separated between them. That's what we saw earlier, the rach explained as one of these psulim. Is that where there's a split between the kaneh and the veshet? And that's what it means that along there. Adu fruke bruke is that Shmuel is talking about when it's pulling away from the lechi itself. So when it's pulling away from the lechi itself, that's when he says rubo is kasher. Whereas when the simanim, if they along the rove are separated one from the other, that's pasul. And that's the way the Rif and the Rambam read this Gemara. Very, very different variation. Tosafot and Rashi are very close, just Tosafot has that additional piece. Again, it's Machloket Achronim, how to read Tosafot, but generally they read it the way that I suggested, which is that additional piece of question on Shmuel, the Shmuel on his own Shita, and then they follow the Gemara through. Whereas the Rambam and the Rif seem to have a different view of the whole piece over here, which is that we look at which side are you pulling from. And then the Gemara's final answer here, is it's a difference between the separating between the two Simanim versus separating the Simanim from the Lechi, and that's where Shmuel will say it's Kasher, whereas when you separate between the two Simanim along the rove, that's Rabbi Barchana's statement, and that is problematic. Okay, now we're going to continue in the Gemara. Now reach the second trefa that's mentioned in our Mishnah, which is the Sukkot HaGargaret. The Kaneh has a large chunk of it missing and popped out of it, and it is a trefa. Karma Sukkot HaGargaret, how much has to be removed from the Kaneh to be problematic? The Gemara says, Beruba, has to be the rove. Rove of the circumference. Become a ruba. What is the rove of the circumference over here? Rav Amar, rove of Ya. It's the rove of the thickness, the width of the trachea. And the Amrila, in some say the name Rav, rove chalala. It's the rove of the internal circumference of the trachea. So if you think about the trachea, the windpipe, there are two places that you could determine the circumference from. You could determine from the outer edges of the windpipe. That means from edge to edge on the outside. And then when you look at the rove, you have to look at the rove including the width or thickness of the walls of the trachea. Or you could say that the rove here is determined by the inner circumference. I mean, excluding the outer walls, just the airspace, the empty space on the inside, that's what determines, and you need a rove of that. Now, it will generally not matter if it's equal on both sides, meaning that the thickness of the walls on both sides is equal, then the rov of the majority should turn out to be equal, whether it's rov chalala or rov ovya. The difference actually comes from the front of the trachea. When you come in from the front of the trachea, it's much thicker. If you remember, we looked at this earlier, that the pictures of the trachea, they're very thick around the front. And then as they come around the sides, they thin out. And in the back, there is just a thin piece of film that connects them in the back. It's not that hard cartilage that's in the front and around to the sides. So over there, where there's a difference in the thickness from one end to the other, then you will have a distinction between the rov chalal and rov ovya. And that's the question over here. When we talk about the rov here, are we talking about the rov of the circumference counting from the outer edges of the trachea? Or are we talking about the rov from the inner edges, the inner circumference of the trachea? That's the question that's being addressed here. Hi, psukat agargeret, actually kamei derav. So we have a case like this. This psukat agargeret that came before Rav, yotivka bodikla, berov obya. He was checking it based on the first member where they have in the name of Rav, that he was checking the entire circumference based on that to see if it was a trachea or not. It was based on the entire circumference of the trachea. So I'm going to Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, the Rav. So his Talmidim say to him, Limatanu Ravenu Barov Chalala. Didn't you tell us that it's Barov Chalala, that it was the internal circumference that mattered, not the external circumference that mattered? So Sadra the Kamei, the Rav of Arkana. So he could not make a decision about that, whether he wanted to go one way and his students weren't allowing him, or he was unable to make the decision because he didn't know which way the halacha should be. Therefore, he passes on the straight foot to Rav of Arkana. Bodka Barov Chalala. He checked it, Barov Kalala, he checked the inner circumference of the trachea. Akshron, he said it's totally fine. And then he purchased from it, but Tlesar Istare Pshite Bisra. Then he went ahead and used 13 Slaim Medina, Sil'e Medina, which is 1/8 of the Selat Suri, or the equivalent of a half dinar of Selat Suri, and he purchased the meat with it. So he went ahead and said it's kasher, and not only that, he went ahead and bought the meat and to eat it. So he ate from his psak, basically. How could he do such a thing? Now, this is on many levels the Gemara is asking this question. The Gemara is going to go through a series of questions as to the behavior of Rabbi Bar Chana over here. Vatanya, don't we have a braita? Chacham shitimei in chaviro reshad etaher. If one chacham paskin said it's problematic, the next chacham can't come along and say it's just fine. Asar, if he said it's no good, in chaviro reshad etaher, you can't come and make it mutar. So Shani Hoch, over here, it's different. So here, we had Rav go ahead. He couldn't give a psak, and then Rav Ruchana comes and says, oh, no problem, it's mutar legamre. When I says, of course, here it's different. The Rav lo asar mesar. The Rav didn't give a psak. A Rav over here was indecisive. So therefore, Rav Ruchana was entitled to be decisive about the issue, because Rav was not decisive, and he was not in violation of going against the psak of his fellow Rav. When I says, v'kev into ori b'chacham heki akal mina. Over here, since there was a need for a chacham to look at it, that's one way you can read it. Or, since Rav had a suffix about it, and then it needed a clear psak on it, how could he go ahead and eat it? Vaktiv, and we saw this earlier by Yechezkel, where it says, V'omer, Yechezkel is singing his praises, his attributes before Hashem, and these are the things that he mentions. V'omer, aha, Hashem, Elokim, hinei nafshi, lo mitum'ah, unaveila, utrifa, lo akalti, nirai vadata, v'lo ba befi basar pikul. Now, what does it mean in the pasuk? Hinei nafshi, lo mitum'ah, that my soul was never defiled. What is that? Shalom, your heart to be yom, levoli day tumah balayla. I never had hirurim during the daytime that brought me to tumat keri at night. Unevela v'treifalo achalti. I didn't eat nevelo treifot. What's the chiddush there? So shalom achalti basar kuskus meolam. I never ate from meat that was shechted when they said run, get shechita quick, because this animal is misukenet. It's about to die. That's the sugya that we saw this before in. And then I never ate from such basar. I never ate basar pigul. Again, what's the chiddush here? I never ate from meat that had to have a psak halacha about it. I ate from things that were clearly kosher. If it had to get a psak already, or it has a safek in it, I didn't eat from that meat. Now, obviously here, if Yechezkel is singing his praises, his attributes to Hashem, and he's saying what he does more than normal people. So this is obviously lifnim mishut adin, what he did. But on the other hand, we're dealing with Rabbi Bar Chana over here. And we would expect Rabbi Bar Chana to act in a similar manner to Yechezkel. And therefore, we're wondering how he could eat this meat. Mishum Rabbi Natan Amro Shlom Achalti Mibehima Shlom Matanota. This is the alternative to what it meant when he said that he didn't eat Mibasar Bigul, that he never ate from an animal that didn't have the Matnot Kumuna taken off of the Chulin, the Chaim and the Keba. Even though he was a Kohen, he wanted the Matnot taken off before he ate from such an animal. The Gemara says, Hani Mile Milta Detali Bisvoro. He says that din that Rabbi Chezkel is talking about, that he didn't eat from anything that has a fake, that has to do with something with svara, where there has to be a decision made, a decision which requires human input. It has to be a distinction, differentiation made in here. You have to decide, is it more like this or more like that? Is it like this color, like that color? I mean, there has to be logic applied and a decision made on logic. Rabbi Bar Chana, Agam Reisamach. Rabbi Bar Chana over here was not basing his psak halacha on any logic. He had a clear psak over here. He said the clear psak was that you go after Rov Chalala. And since he learned that from his Rebbe, it wasn't a question of Svara. Since he had learned it, he's allowed to go ahead and give the psak halacha without any problem and eat the meat. There's no safek over here. Where it says, V'tipuk le'mishum chashto. Let's worry about another problem. So far we've had two issues that Rabbi Chana had to do. How could he paskin against another Rav who said no when he says yes? Gemara says the other Rav didn't say no. Rav himself was besafek. He never said no. So Rabbi Chana was entitled to paskin. The second we asked is, how could it be that Rabbi Chana ate from such meat that had a safek surrounding it? So the Gemara says that for Rabbi Chana wasn't a safek. It wasn't an issue of logic. It wasn't an issue of logical argument. It was an issue of psak. And he had a clear mesora about the psak, and there was nothing to talk about. And therefore he didn't have a safek at all in here. So that was the second thing. Now the third thing is, what about chashad? The chashad is that a dayan in general should not be trafficking in items that he gives psak over. For instance, the Tanya, danat adin v'zika v'chiyev timei v'tiher asar v'hitir. Whichever the judge did, he gave some sort of psak halacha. V'chena edim she'idu, or witnesses come along and testify. Kulan rishayim likach. After the fact, they could go ahead and buy whatever's there. Even though they're permitted, everything is mutar for them to do now. They have the right to buy it. It's owned by the individual wherever the psak halacha is. And you can go ahead and buy from him. You can transact with him. It's his now. Or whatever psak you gave, now you can interact based on that psak. We're not going to stop you because that's the halacha. So what is the problem? It doesn't look good. It looks really bad to do something like that. Anything similar to that, we're not going to let you go. Now, Rashi here discusses the problem. We're going to see why in a minute. But this is based on the fact that we assume or we think that he's giving you a discount. It's a price that he's discounting the item to you. And therefore, it looks like you are nogea b'davar. You're trafficking in something where you traded off the psak halacha to get a better price on the item. So he's selling to you at a discounted price, basically paying you off for giving him the psak halacha that he needed. So that's why we don't allow it. So hani milim yididimizavid mishuma. That's why the Gemara asks here. That's only true when things are sold on estimate. There's no fixed value to the item. The item has different values in different people's eyes, like the sale of a house, something that doesn't have any absolute fixed value out there. So things that have very variable values, and therefore they have to be assessed on the price, that's where we say don't do it, because people are going to think that there's a discounted price. Hacha, but over here, matkala muchach. Over here, the way meat is sold, it's sold by weight. So there's no way for him to discount it. You put it on the scale, he takes and he pays full money for it. It's not there's any chashash that he's going to discount it, because we know he weighed it, he paid the price, and it's done. So there's no question or no problem over here. And that's why Rabbi Bachana didn't feel necessary not to transact in this animal, because he paid full price for it, and everybody could see that. Kiha de Rabbo. This is a case that we had. Now, obviously, this shouldn't be like Rabbo. It's like Rabbo was probably the gears over here. Shara Trefata. He was Matir Trefa. Vizavan Mina Bisra. And then he purchased the meat after he was matirit. So Amalei Bat, Rav Chista, his wife, Bat Rav Chista, said to him, Abba Shari Bukhra, my father, who was a Kohen, people used to bring to him Bechorot to look at to see if they have a mum in them, because a Bechor that is not a Baal Mum is a Tam, has to be brought up to the Mikdash and brought on Mizbech. Today we have no Mikdash on Mizbech. The animal can't do anything with it. Once a Bechor has a mum in it, then it can be eaten by the Kohen anywhere he wants in the Gulin, if it basically becomes Gulin with some restrictions on it. So she says, my father was a Kohen. They used to come to him and ask him, is this mum a good enough mum to shech the animal? Does this make it into a Baal mum? And he would never purchase the meat from them after the fact. After he gave the psak halacha, he would never purchase meat from them, because he thought maybe it looked like he was no ge'eva davar. So Rava responds to his wife and says, Hani mili bukhra. That's when you're talking about a bechor. You know why you have to do by a bechor? Because of the ashumim is davin. A bechor cannot be sold by weight. One of the restrictions, because it's psulei amikdashim, but particularly Bechor and Maser, are not allowed to be sold based on being sold on the scale. Since all the benefit goes to people, not Hekdesh, therefore we do not allow you to be Mevaze and Kodshim to sell it on the scales and to sell it in the Shuk. In that manner, you have to sell it in a block way. So even though you get less money, we don't really care, because then it's only coming back to the Kohen. On the other hand, when it comes to other Psulei Mikdashim, with the money or the beneficiary of that is Hekdesh, over there we say weigh it out, get the best price possible. So we're allowed to be Mavasa Kodshim for the Kodshim themselves to benefit. So over here we're not going to allow you to sell it on a weight basis. So that's why her father couldn't buy it. Because over there there's a possibility that they could discount the price to him and then it would look really bad. On the other hand, hocha matkala mochach. Over here, I'm buying it on weight, based on weight. This is pure chulin. I can buy it on weight basis. It's clear that I paid full price for this. Ma'iko mishum umtzom al yoto. He says, what are you going to say now? That, oh, maybe they gave me the best piece of meat. So that's the problem over here. He says, koyoma umtzom al yoto zabnuli. He goes, I walk down the street every day. The butcher's offer me the best meat. Mipnei kavod, I'm a tchacham. Because of the kavod, they used to offer me the best meat anyway. So they're not doing for me anything unusual that nobody else would do. So therefore, we not classify this as being kiyur or problematic because it's clear I paid full price. I got no more benefits than I normally would get as rubber. And so nobody's going to think that I'm getting paid off for making this mutar. Tamar of Chistei, Zu Tamar Chacham. Who's classified as a Tamar Chacham? Zeh haro'eh treifa l'atzmo. This is someone who sees his own treifot. Now, ro'eh treifa l'atzmo doesn't mean that he paskins on his own treifot that he makes the mutar. But this is somebody who sees his own treifot and makes them into a treifa. That he's not koshish to make his own animals into a treifa. That he takes the loss and he paskins the proper halacha, that's a tamar chacham. So Avamar Rav Chisda, Ezuhu sonei matanot yichyeh. That what the pasuk in Mishlei tells us, the one who hates presents will live a long life. Who is that? Zeh re treifa l'atzmo. That's someone who sees the treifa for himself, meaning that he looks at the animal and he paskins the treifa and he loses the money. Because over there, if he's willing to lose his own money and give up psak to lose his own money, certainly he's going to be careful about other people's money. If he's careful, even his own money is not taking what doesn't belong to him, and he paskins the pure halacha and doesn't steal money or take extra money and say it's kasher. So too, by other people's money, of course he's going to be makpid and not take their money. So darish marzutu mishmei derav Chisda. Kol mi shekore mishone veroe treifa l'atzmo shimesh tamarei chakamim alav ha-ketuv v'mer yigia kopecha ki tochal ashrecha v'tov lach. So anybody who kore means he learned mikra, shone means he learned mishnah, veroe treifa l'atzmo, someone who can see his own treifot, meaning that he's willing to pass on the proper halacha, even if it causes him financial loss. Vishimesh tamid chachamim is mishamish tamid chachamim, as Rashi says over here. Shimesh tamid chachamim is learning Gemara. Basically, the ability to reconcile the Mishnayot, to ask from one to the other, understand the svarot of the Mishnayot, to go into depth and understanding of the Mishnayot, not simply knowing the Mishnah itself. So if someone does that, the pasuk says about him, Yigir kapech v'kitochel, when you do your hard work and you eat from it, ashrech v'tov lach. It should come bracha, it should be praiseworthy, and it should be good for you. So that's this case over here. This is someone who eats of his own meat, meaning that he's not willing to, even on his own money, he's not willing to take a treifa and say that's kasher. So therefore, of course, on other people's money, he's not going to take what doesn't belong to him. He's only going to live off. That's what he produces on his own. So Rav Zvid Amar, Zochem and Ochel Shnei Olamot, Zochem and Ochel Tevzal Olamot, Shalom Hazeh V'Olam Haba. Shrecha V'Olam Hazeh, Toblach V'Olam Haba. That's how they dash in the Pasuk. That's the same way it's dashed in Mishnah Avot, that Ashrecha means in this world, and Tovlach, the Olam Haba. This is someone who learns and has learned tremendously, and also paskins the Amito, even when it causes himself financial loss. That's someone who's a Kiyob Kopecha Kitochel. That's a person who will be successful and eat from the work of his own hands. Rabbi Elazar, Kiyavim Mishadrile Mibeni Siya Mide Lo Shakil. Elazar, when they used to send to him gifts or presents from the Beni Siya, he would not accept them. And when they invited him to come over, he didn't go. They don't want me to live a long life. You guys are trying to take away my life. You're trying to give me gifts, which is going to cause my life to be diminished. So I'm not going to accept the gifts. I'm not going to accept your invitations because I want to live a long life. And therefore, I'm not going to participate. Rabbi Zera, on the other hand, says, when they sent him gifts, from the Bein Nisiyah, he wouldn't accept it because the Sonei Matanot Yechiyah. On the other hand, when they invited him, Azul, he did go. Amar, he says, it's not exactly what you think. I'm going over there, and you think I'm the beneficiary? They are really the beneficiaries over here because I bring kavod to them. My acceptance of the invitation gives them kavod. And that's what Rashi says over here. I give them kavod by the fact that I join in their meals. And it really, the benefit is to them, not to me. Therefore, I'm not accepting a gift. So he viewed the acceptance of the invitation as really he is giving to them rather than them giving to him. And therefore, he said it was mutar and he didn't have a problem. So when it comes to that. With regards to halacha, which is something that we bumped in today, is the issue of shopping up psak. And that's what you had here. You have Rav, who they went to check up psak halacha, and then afterwards they switched over and they went to Rav Barchana. That case was an unusual case where Rav didn't have an answer, and therefore they moved over to Rav Bar Chana. But the Gemara challenges him from this idea that when a person has given up psak halacha, you may not go to another person to undermine that halacha. And beyond that, the other person himself cannot undermine the halacha. And that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, brought down in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya Reish Mem Bet, Seif Lamed Aleph. It's brought down in the Ramah over there. And I'm just going to read you the Ramah because it incorporates a lot of what we saw today in the Gemara, as well as the Tosafot over here. Tosafot's opinion about when are you allowed to be Agamrei Samich, when are you allowed to be Somech on the fact that you have a Mesorah. When does that overcome the problem of undermining other Piske Halakha? As well as who is believed over here. Now the Ramah begins, Agat. Vein Adam Lehorot Ad Arbim Shana. Person should not start to be a Morara until he's 40 years old. As long as there's someone else bigger or greater than him in the city, even though it's not his Rebbe, he can back out until he's 40. Chacham Sha'asar. You have a Chacham who made something Asur. Ein Chaveiro Rashai Lehatir. Rishikul Adat. When you have something that you paskan is Asur, your friend can't come along and be Matir. Another Chacham can't come along and be Matir. That's in issues that require Shikul Adat. Weighing of different options. So therefore, if he weighed the options and came out with this answer, you can't go then and undermine what he said and change it and say that I look at it this way or I view it this way. Aval, im yesh lo kabbalah shita'a. If he has a direct misora that whatever he's saying is incorrect, then, oh, shita'a b'dvar mishnah, or the mistake was so obvious that it was a ta'a b'dvar mishnah, yachol, in that case, he's allowed to be matir. Then he's allowed to paskin against the other individual, either because it's ta'a b'dvar mishnah, and therefore it's so obvious what Allah is not like that individual, and therefore he can correct it. Or because of the fact that he has a Mesorah. It's not dealing with Shikul Adat. It's not Hachra'ah like we know it, where he's making a decision based on the inputs and how he thinks. Rather, since he has a directed Mesorah over there, he can be Matir, even though someone else had been Oser. Vafilu, Imta'ah b'Shikul Adat. And even in cases where you made a mistake in terms of weighing the options here and weighing the evidence, Yachol Yisav Litenim Amorach Yachzor Bo. He can work with him and talk to him and try to convince him otherwise, meaning that you don't give the psak against him, but you have a right to go to him and speak to him about it and try to convince him otherwise to have him reverse the psak. And that is fair and even laudatory. V'chein, ein yisur l'shoel l'sheni. Now, there's no yisur on someone who takes a psak and then shops the psak around. So this is something unusual. So what do you, want to go get a good psak? So you go to this person, then you go to the next person. You didn't like the first one, so you go to the second one. You don't like the second one, you go to the third one. So here the Ramah says that's perfectly fine. Any sort of show el the sheni. There's no iser for you to go and ask another chacham about your case. Ubilvav, the one qualification is shiodio to shkvar hore arishon nesor. You have to tell him what the first person said to you. You're allowed to go ask for a second psak. You're allowed to get other piskei halacha, but that's only when in a situation that you tell him that you already got a psak halacha. You have to identify and let him know that you already got a psak halacha. And then based on that, he's allowed to then go and give the Piskei Halacha based on that knowledge that he knows someone else paskened in either a different way or in the same way that he intends to pasken, but he must know that information. V'afilu mehitir rishon v'kvar chala horato. Even if the first individual gave the psak already and it's gone into effect, ein l'sheni l'esor mikoach shikul adat. The second individual shouldn't come and be oser mikoach shikul adat. So this is the opposite of what we had before. Before we were talking about being matir. There is, it can't be matir. Here, the Ramah adds in that even mishukul adat, you can't be osir. You can't be machmir and say it's asur, because that's not allowed. If he already said it's mutar, and you're just coming along based on your shikul adat, based on your assessment and saying that it should be asur, that also is improper, and you can't do that. Again, the Ramah qualifies this and says it's only in this psak halacha exactly. Aval b'masa acher, if you have a different situation in which this comes up, he can, when he, if that case comes before him, he can paskin whatever he wants. I mean, it's in the particular case. It's not where across the board he's no longer allowed to paskin against him. But in that one particular case, if you have a trait, you have a piece of meat here, you need to know if it's trefa or not trefa. If a psak is given about the meat, then you can't go and undermine that psak based on shikul adat. But if a new person comes in front of you with another piece of meat, in that case, you can give psak halacha, even though technically you're giving psak halacha on the second one, will have implications on the first one. But since they're separate cases, you have a right to give a psak based on what you see in the case that's in front of you. The problem is when you undermine the authority of the other judge in the same case, in the same situation exactly, there you can't do it. That is restricted. Again, as long as it's shikul adat, then it's restricted. If it's a din and misora, and you have a pure, straightforward kabbalah like Rabbi Barhanan over here, then you don't have to hold back. You can give the psak halacha. Okay, with that, we'll stop over here.